Come tonight, and I want to thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, we want to bring before you the special objects that's been mentioned. Lord, we all know people that are needy. We know people that are lost. We know people that have health problems. Lord, we just want to remember them tonight. We pray for our teachers. We pray for our children. I pray, Lord, for this Vacation Bible School, and I pray that you would help us tonight as we study about what the Bible has to say about money. And we pray that, God, we'd live all of our lives for your honor and your glory, and that you would help tonight as only you can. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. I told Kim today we were talking about just life in general. I said the thing is there's so many things to master. About the time you get it figured out, you're close to dying. You know, you look at one area of your life and then you say, boy, I need to work on that, and look at another thing and another thing and another thing, and then takes a while. So, but we was talking about money. I was going to share this with you. This was in yesterday's Sunday paper and the Winston-Salem Journal. This lady, her name is Michelle Singletary, and she writes on, she has a financial column every week, and it's pretty good. She's real good about finances, but I thought this was interesting. I read it last night when I got home, but she said, I often joke to my husband that I wish he had been my father. And she talks about a little bit about her father wasn't in her life growing up. She said, without a father or strong father figure, all my financial lessons came from Big Mama. That was her grandma. She said, surveys show that parents are the biggest influence on their children when it comes to money. Positive or negative, Big Mama taught me well. So, and she goes on down and talks about how her grandmother taught her how to save money and things. And she's always writing pretty good. She's a black lady, African American. You don't even know what to say sometimes, you know. But she's got a lot of wisdom. I thought that was interesting. Let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 22. We won't go over again what we went over last night other than just to mention it. We'll just start again tonight. But last night, you remember we talked about debt, what the Bible says about debt. And tonight we're going to talk about stewardship or money management, how to manage our money. We'll get to that and probably leak over into tomorrow night as well. But we'll just get started and see how far we go. But Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. I was reading this morning just in my devotional reading, but I noticed this verse said, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And so without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And in the Bible, we have a multitude of counselors. We have good advice and good examples in the Bible, but I thought I'd start out tonight by way of illustration. You know, would anybody go down here to the college and just start taking classes? I mean, just, you know, if you meet a college student, one of the first things you ask them, what are you studying? And, you know, what if you talk to somebody and said, well, I'm taking some history and some science and art and medicine and, you know, I'm just taking class here and a class there. And I guess some of them do that. But then you say, well, what are you wanting to get a degree in? Would anybody go for 4 years just taking random classes and then come up at the end and say, well, I'd like a degree in this? You know, they probably wouldn't let you just take classes like that. But they certainly wouldn't let you just pick what you wanted and then want a degree in engineering or teaching, or, you know, you could just pick anything. You've got to go I mean, there's what I'm getting at is that there is a plan. If you're going to be a teacher, this is the courses you've got to take. If you're going to be a scientist, this is what you got to do. If you're going to be a nurse, this is what you've got to do. You go to a counselor, and they look at what you know, what you've learned so far, and they map it all out. They plan it all out. And they do that so you can get what you're wanting to get, so you can get the degree that you want to get. And so they have counselors. Nobody goes to build a house and just goes out there and takes a bulldozer and pushes off some dirt and pours some concrete and just sort of makes it up on the fly. You know, that if you've seen somebody doing that, what kind of house are you going to be at? Well, we just ordered a bunch of 2x4s and we're just sort of going to, you know, you'd say, well, you're crazy. You can't build a house like that. You've got to have a vision in mind. You've got to have a plan. You got to think about everything. And then when you're done, you didn't think about everything, but you know, which way is it going to set? And, you know, you got to have a blueprint. You got to have a materials list. You got to make sure you're going to have enough money to finish what you start. And we find that principle in the Bible. Luke 14:28, Jesus said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" You know, do you have enough money? You got everything lined up with the bank? So you got to have a blueprint. You got to have a plan. And if you don't, you're just going to have a disappointment. And armies have plans. Businesses have business plans. Hospitals have plans of how they're. Everybody has plans. But a lot of people, when it comes to their money, although. And I've read this, and this is one of them things, maybe, maybe not, but your average American will probably make over $2 million in their lifetime. But they don't have a plan. You know, they just, money comes in, they spend it. You know, they might save a little here, but basically got no plan. So the Bible says that without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And so we're talking about money management or planning with money tonight. And we're going to look at that a little bit. Now, that example I read said that that lady learned about finances from her parents. And we all learn. We probably do a lot of the things our parents did. Or we established a habit when we were younger that we carried into adulthood. I told Kim earlier, we were talking about it, and I said, well, I grew up on the quarter in, quarter out plan. That's how I managed the first money that I remember having. And the quarter in, quarter out plan was if I went to church, and I remember there's a man, Mr. Phillips, he'd always give us a quarter. And then my grandpa Cornette, if you was around him, he'd give us grandyoungins, he'd give them a quarter. And so if I had a quarter in my pocket, I thought the first thing you're supposed to do is put it in the thing at Rose's or the grocery store. And they still have them today. You know, you put a quarter in there and you turn the machine and you get a little plastic ring that's worth about a penny. And or you get a sticker. You know, all kinds of things. Quarter in, quarter out. That's how a lot of us, you know, grew up. What that turns into, though, later on in life, is living. What do they talk about? A lot of Americans live from what to what? From paycheck to paycheck. So, if you're in the mentality, if I've got a quarter, I spend a quarter. If I've got $10, that's to spend. If I've got $100, that's to spend. If I've got a job and I get a paycheck, I'm going to get another one next week, so I spend that. And so that, you could see how that would translate into, and that's how I lived up until early adulthood. Now, Kim has been a best influence on breaking some of my bad habits of anything. She did not live that way. She didn't do that. But I remember when we were dating one time, I had a job. I paid my car payment. I had a nice car. You got to have a nice car. Got to have a Mustang. I had a Mustang. I paid my car payment. Bought my gas. Took her out to eat. And come around, my insurance was due one time. And I didn't have the money. I'd spend it all. And she let me borrow some money to pay my insurance. We were dating. But that's how I was living. Money in, money out, paycheck to paycheck. Did anybody see the children last night? They had the little signs. Chloe wouldn't let me bring hers, but they said bad on one side, good on the other side. I told her, I said, I need that for my class. Quarter in, quarter out, bad. But that's one way we live sometimes, till we learn better. Something else I want us to think about when we're talking about managing money or what the Bible says about it. Now, if we love the Lord and we tithe and you have a good heart and you want to do right, does that mean everything will just always work out financially speaking and you'll never have any problems? But we love the Lord. We love the Lord. And I was preaching yesterday, God has a big barrel. He's able to supply our needs. And the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So doesn't that mean that God will always come through? We won't have financial problems like people out in the world? That's not what that means. We know that. There's other laws in the Bible as well. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So here's what I'm getting at. You have faith, you love the Lord, you have a good heart, you want to do right. That does not excuse us from physical responsibility, financial responsibility. We have a lot of instruction in the Bible. We have a lot of counselors in the Bible about how we're to manage our lives. And that goes for anything. I didn't write it down, but there's the verse over in, I think it's in Luke, but it says it rains on the just and on the unjust. And just because you're saved doesn't mean you're not going to have a flat tire. Doesn't mean your transmission's not going to blow up, or your car's not going to tear up, or you're going to get sick. We're going to have problems just like everybody else. Let's look over. We were looking last night in Proverbs chapter 6. Let's go back over there. And what I want to do for the next few minutes, I want to look at some of God's counselors from the Bible. And we looked at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. We talked about surety. That's becoming legally liable for somebody else's debt. And I'll give you another verse, those of you that are taking notes. Proverbs 17, verse 18. Let me just read it to you. This is just Proverbs 17, verse 18. A man void of understanding striketh hands and become a surety in the presence of his friend. So that's just another verse along the lines of co-signing, signing a note. It's a real nice way of putting it. A man void of understanding. You could say somebody that doesn't have any sense would do that. A man void of understanding. That's what the Bible says. Striketh hands. But it talks about surety. Verses 1 through 5. But verse number 6, we find some of God's counselors. And God uses the weak things to confound the mighty. And God uses simple things for us to learn. But verse 6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. There is a lesson from the ant. That's one of God's counselors that we can learn things from. Now, when I was a teenager, the church I grew up in, they would meet before Sunday school and have a little devotional, and then they would all go to the Sunday school class. So the young people, they'd do the devotion every once in a while. And I was shy, and I didn't want to get up in front of everybody, but they asked me if I'd do the devotional one Sunday morning. So I got up, and I didn't have anything to say, but I was going to read these verses. And I read these verses on the ant, and it just went by so fast, we still had about 15 minutes before we went to Sunday school. So I thought, well, I'll just keep on reading. And you read chapter number 6, it goes down and it starts talking about all kinds of serious adult things. And the more I read, the more embarrassed I got. And it's a wonder I ever surrendered to preach, because that was I was reading and seeing what I was reading in front of the whole church. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to die of embarrassment here. But I can't read about the ant without thinking about that. But I've had a few more years to think about the lessons from the ant. And the ant that we read about here in the Bible, there's a lot of good lessons. What could we learn from the ant? Well, the ant works. Work is a good thing. And we'll talk a little bit about how we obtain money, but that's one of the things we're going to have to work in our life. I don't know of anybody that's royalty or has parents that are millionaires and just we inherited all this money, but we're going to have to work, and that's what the ant does. They are workers. They are gatherers. They don't have the verse number 7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. They don't have anybody out there, you know, you got to get to this, and you got to do this, and you got to get a job. And well, they just do it. They just get to work. They know what needs to be done. Does the Bible say anything about saving money? It teaches the principle, and the ants are a great illustration of the wisdom of saving. And we know about the ants. What do? They work in the summertime, and they store up. And so when lean times come, we could get a lot of illustrations out of this, a lot of examples. When cold times come, when there's no work, you know, things like that happen in life. They've stored some up. And then if you grew up hearing Aesop's Fables, and you know the cricket comes along and says, we're starving to death and we want some food and we know you've got it. And I've read that story to Chloe I don't know how many times, and I always add stuff to it. You know, I've got it really different than the story. But I said, them old lazy crickets, they've played all summer, they've laid in the bed. And here they are. I said, I'll tell her, what do you think about them ants? You think they ought to give their food away to these crickets? It's been lazy. And so a lot of the Aesop's Fables, they've got a lot of good lessons in them. But now somebody'd say, ants don't plan, they don't think ahead, that's just what they do. God made them that way. And then God said, go to the ant and consider her ways and be wise. So they do that by instinct, but God made them that way. And there's lessons there. There's times of no income. They provide in verse number 8, and then verse 9 turns it around on us. And it's talking about being lazy. And if you read and study the book of Proverbs, you will get the impression that God is not impressed with being lazy. And God, He has designed us to get up and do something. And so He asked the question, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Look what it says in verse 11. "So shall thy poverty come." Talking about being poor. "Poverty stricken, as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." And so there's counsel in going to the ant. They work, they provide, they save. Look over in Genesis chapter number 39. We could look at the ants. We're going to look at Joseph. Now, Joseph was, we all know about him and his life. And he was sold into slavery, and first thing he did, he was a butler. He was, it says here in chapter number 39 that he was an overseer. And that means that he was a butler type individual. In the New Testament or other places, it talks about being a steward. And a steward is a household manager. That's what Joseph was. Joseph, he looked over the affairs of his master. And his master trusted him so much, he put everything into his hand. Joseph had a lot of wisdom when it come to managing a household and everything. I mean, there's a lot involved in that. You got to pay people. You got to give people jobs to do. And there's money involved. There would be. It'd just be part of it. But that's what Joseph was. And Genesis chapter number 39, verse number 1, the Bible said, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and Egyptians, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." And boy, he really trusted Joseph to the point that he didn't even know how much he had in his banking account. He just knew the bread on the table. He'd trusted Joseph with everything. Joseph was a good manager. Joseph knew how to save. And if you study the life of Joseph right on out, it was Joseph's savings that saved the nation of Israel and that saved the Egyptian people, because they, you know, the Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph came up with, "Well, what are we going to do?" And we're going to, during the plenteous years, "We're going to put back the corn. We're going to put back the corn." And they did that, and it saved the nation and it saved Israel. So does the Bible teach saving? The principle's there. It's wise. It's wise to save. And so we think about Joseph. And I think it is chapter 41, verse 47. "And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid the food in the cities, and the food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. As Joseph's savings, as his idea that saved the nation. So that's one of God's counselors as well. Look back in Proverbs chapter number 10. There is, in the book of Proverbs, there's several people. And one of the people you meet in the book of Proverbs is just simply referred to as the wise man. And he's usually contrasted to the foolish man. And there's a righteous man and the wicked man. And there's a wicked woman and a virtuous woman. And so there's a lot of comparison in the book of Proverbs. But Proverbs chapter 10, we'll read there. But I'll read Proverbs 21 and 20. It says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." In the dwelling of the wise, he's got something in his house that's worth something. He's got treasure. But a foolish man spendeth it up. That foolish man, he's on the quarter in, quarter out plan. As soon as he gets it, he spends it. Proverbs chapter number 10, verse number 4. This is an interesting verse. It says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand." Now, we're country people. You know what slack is. You've worked outside. If there's slack in a rope, it means to be loose. "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand." You know, some people, they have the reputation, boy, they're tight. They're tight with their money. They hold on to it. Why are you grinning? No, you was looking at me. I wasn't looking.
I'm not tight. I buy everything I want.
But you know, somebody's got a reputation, they're tight. Tight with their money. Kim would kill me if I went to telling about her, but man, she's tight. She is tight, and she does not have a slack hand. If I want anything, I have to go and make the case before the Pharaoh. But I'm just kidding about that. But look what the Bible says. "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." One person is very loose with what he's got. The other person is very diligent, watching over, careful about what they have. So they're contrasted there. They're compared. And then you have another reference to the lesson from the ant in verse number 5. "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." You know, you don't have as much hay, making hay, baling hay, all that. But they used to say, you got to make hay while the sun's shining. Better get out there. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. That's being diligent, taking the opportunity. But a slack hand becometh poor. The diligent, watching over it, watching over what we have, maketh rich. It's what the Bible says. So there's the wise man. He's a counselor that we find in Joseph and the ants. And then look in Proverbs chapter number 31. Here's another counselor. You've got the wise woman. And if we really had time to study out the virtuous woman, she would get top honors for household management. If you really read what she does, she is an expert at managing everything to do that with a household, and that includes the money. But the virtuous woman, Proverbs chapter 31, she begins in verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies?" Verse 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now, I have run into over the years more than one time either a husband or a wife that has ruined a family financially. And a lot of times it goes on and the husband or the wife doesn't even know about it until they're in deep, deep trouble. And through most of the time credit cards, spending, buying, ordering things, buying things spur of the moment. But this virtuous woman, her husband doesn't have to worry about that. So that he shall have no need of spoil. He knows she's not going to go out and blow everything they've got. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse number 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is a manufacturer. She knows how to do things. And it is good to know how to do things. You want to talk about saving money, knowing how to can, knowing how to, it'll save you. And you don't have to go and hire somebody to do, but that's what she is. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She's an expert shopper. And some of these ladies, they got it figured out. Coupons, and when the sales are, and where to go, and what to buy. And we have some in our church that are just, they're really good at that. That's how this virtuous woman was. She knows how to get what she needs. Verse number 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. She's not lazy. She's not laying in the bed. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She's got a real estate license. She considereth a field and buyeth it. If you did that today, you'd about have to. She knows what the value of something is worth. She knows how to garden. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. Verse number 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arm. She is a strong person. Verse number 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She's thrifty. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She's skilled. She knows how to do things. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She gives. She's able to give. She's got a big heart. And on, we could go down through there and read about her, but she's an expert in dealing with things. And so there's a lot of counselors in the Bible as we look through, we see, and anything you study in the Bible, when you start to see it all over the place. Oh, there's an example of that. There's an example in the parables, over on in the New Testament, in the stories in the Old Testament. So that's just some examples of some of the counselors where it talks to or refers about money. But last night I talked about, gave an illustration. I said if you had just a few minutes to talk to somebody about money, what would you tell them? You know, what would you share with them? And we started over in chapter 22 and verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And whatever they learn from us, they're going to continue to do till they learn better. But verse 7 said, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So last night we started talking about debt. And the best thing to do would be to learn to avoid debt and not get into debt. But if you have debt, what the wise thing to do would be to get rid of it, pay it off. And there's all kinds of theories on how to do that, but the best, in my opinion, is to start with the smallest. And if it's a credit card or whatever, pay one thing off. And if you listen to Dave Ramsey or read any of Larry Burkett's books, they say the same thing. Start with the small, pay that off, because you feel like you're doing something. And then pay the next thing off, and pay the next thing off, and pay the next thing off, and get out of debt as soon as possible. And so we talked about that last night, how dangerous it is, how that it's gambling, how that you can get in over your head in debt, and things can happen. So there's all kinds of things the Bible says about that. But if we carry that just a little bit further, if we were going to teach somebody about money, if I was going to teach a child about money, I'd want to teach them how to manage it, how to manage their money. And I'm going to give you four things tonight about managing money. P.T. Barnum Bailey Circus, he wrote a book on, I can't remember the name of the book, but I've read it. But he wrote a book on money, and he had a lot to say about money. And he said, money is an excellent slave and a horrible master. And so all the financial people, you know, they say, get your money working for you. Be the master over it, not it being a master over you. But there's four things. If I was teaching a child about money and how to handle it, how to manage it, how to be a good steward over it, the first thing I would teach them would be about receiving money. Now, how do we receive money? How do we get money? We work. But is that how a child receives money, first of all? Allowance. Brother John grew up in the city. He had an allowance growing up. But there's a child. But is that the first way they get money? How do kids get money? Relatives, birth. Now we're talking about receiving money. Tooth fairy. Yeah. When I was growing up, like I've mentioned before, people would give you money. And people have given my children money. Come here. It's gone up now. It used to be a quarter. Chloe's got a lot of dollars. You know, somebody, you know, they just, you want to give something to a youngin', give them a dollar. So we receive money first. All of us. Somebody give us some money. What are you going to do with your money? So you receive money by gift. That's where children learn. Now, here's another saying, easy come, easy go. And if we let children, that's how they'll... we have a Easter with our family, and the eggs are all worth a dollar. And we have a lot of children on the Cornette side. And so all of them kids, and they did that when I was growing up, and we'd hunt eggs, and they'd be worth 25 cents and 10 cents, and every once in a while you'd find one worth a dollar, and man, we'd get $8 or $9 or $10 or something. We just thought we was rich. But first thing we want to do, we want to go to Rose's and spend that money and buy a toy. And that's usually what we done. So kids, what are they going to do? That's a prime opportunity to teach children. So we receive money, a gift, work. These other ways. We work for it. Allowance. First job I ever had, I had about 25 or 30 people under me. And I mowed the cemetery, so they were all under me. And it come back in life. Now I'm mowing the cemetery again. But I mowed, Abigail babysits. That's the first thing she ever done, make a little money. Noah started working at the radio station, doing little things like that. So we earn money. Has anybody ever found any money? I've lost it and I've found it. We had field day down at Cove Creek, and Mr. Isaacs buried, you remember them margarine bowls, plastic? He buried a margarine bowl full of change. And during field day, towards the end of the year, we all went out. And I remember I found that. I thought I was the richest. I remember it was under home plate. And I found that little thing of money. And man, I thought I was rich. But you might find some money. You might inherit some money. People inherit money. What are you going to do with that? You might get money off of interest. You know, you get a little interest if you put some money back. So there's lots of ways to get money or to receive money. But we need to know what to do with it. So you teach your children. You got some money. Here's how you handle it. Getting it is the easy part. Keeping it, that's the hard part. So we receive money, and there's lessons on that. But then, and here's where the pastor part comes in, what you think all preachers would talk about, but that's not all there is. But I call it the rule of money. And to me, it's very important to teach a child the rule of money. And what I'm talking about is tithing. I want to teach my children to tithe. My parents taught me, our Sunday school teachers taught us to tithe. And I learned a long time ago that I could get by and be blessed with 90% with God's blessing than to have 100% that didn't have the blessing of the Lord on it. Just some verses, and we'll not go there, but and some people don't. I've had people argue with me about tithing. To me, it's sort of like kindergarten. It's one of the very basic things to learn. And Jacob made a promise to the Lord that he would give a tenth of all that he had. And the word tithe means tenth. And that is in Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 22. So a lot of people say, well, that's tithing is under the law. But that was before the law. Abraham, before Jacob, Genesis chapter 14, verse number 20, he met Melchizedek and he gave tithes of all. He tithed before the law. But the probably the main verse, or the first verse, what we learned in Sunday school was in Malachi. That's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. And verses 9 and 10, it said, "You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." And so there's a promise. God said, "I'll bless you." And one more thing I'll say about the tithe. I've been asked, should you tithe off the top or off the bottom? That's before the government gets all their hands on and robs off of you and all the other deductions and things. Do you tithe off that top number or what you take home? Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord." And the word honor, and we don't use this very much, but a lot of times if a preacher goes and preaches and the church gives him something, I've gotten back checks or I've gotten checks before and they've written in the line honorarium. And that's a fancy way to say to get some money, to give some money, to pay. An honorarium, it has to do with money. When it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance," that's what you have. and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So what do you tithe off of? Your increase. All your increase. And we've tried to teach our children through the years to be very particular about that. You know, if somebody gives you some money, or Easter egg hunt, or if you make some money, tithe off of that. Honor the Lord with your increase. And verse number 10 said, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God puts a promise on that. If you honor the Lord with what you have, He'll bless you. And other places in the Bible. So I would call that the rule of money. And I remember learning that as a child, and I think it's something we need to teach our children and young Christians. So there's the receiving of money. There's the rule of money. Number three, there is something else that's very, very important. The retention of money. Saving money. I think that's the first thing you ought to teach somebody, is how to save money. If they never learn how to save money, they will never have any money. If it's just the, I get it, I spend it, I get it, I spend it, they'll never have anything. And so the retention of money. Now, we have taught through the years, we've taught our children to save. And all of them, I told Kim, I said, we've done this right. I said, we've taught them to save. Now, if we need any money, we can borrow it off of them. Because they've all got money. I mean, they're not allowed to spend it. Well, Noah, he's gone now. You know, he's up and gone. But he's another one that's tight. I mean, that's good. That's good. Because he saved this money over the years, and now he's wanting to pick up. And boy, I've been talking to him, you know. I said, don't you go out and get you a big payment. You'll be sick of that. And he's like, no, I don't want to do that, man. He wants the best he can get for the least price. His mama and dad and her daddy made over when it comes to that. But retaining money, you've got to learn how to retain it and to save it. And so I remember when Noah was little, we had jars, and Abigail too. And when they would get some money, we'd say, and we had a percentage. You got some money. This is to save. This is to tithe. This is to spend. And so they learn, and then they see, you know, I'm getting some money. That's good. That's good. And then they've still got some to spend, and children want to give. We have to watch Chloe. She gets a little money, and she's... we went and got yogurt the other night, and we was sitting out there. We was finished up, and Chloe gets into her purse. She said, I'm going to go give that girl a dollar. I said, why are you going to go get... I want to give her a dollar. I said, you don't need to go give her a dollar. She's so happy to have some money. She might be the one we have trouble out of, but... You know, she wants to get rid of it. She wanted to pay me for her food the other another time recently, and I took a dollar off of her, and I paid the rest. But you know how that is. But there's the receiving of money, the rule of money, the retaining of money, how to save money, how to keep some money, and then there's the reusing of money, because that's all we do with money. We use it. And that's where the lessons comes in. I'm going to close with that tonight because they start coming up. We's all still in here and everything. But that's all we're doing with money. We get it and we use it again. But what we want to do is use it wisely. Not blow it, not just spend it. And I really brag on Kim. She has, over the years, we've been married, we'll be 28 years, really helped me see, and now I'm a whole lot like her, you know. in that aspect of it. So it's good. Learn how to use money and get a good value. Has anybody got any? Sister Rebecca had asked me a couple of questions I'm going to deal with later on. I'm going to talk a little bit about when we talk about reusing money, investing, but I am not an expert in that, so I'm not going to say a whole lot about it, but I'll sort of share some things I've learned about it. And then somebody asked last night about giving money. I'm going to talk just a little bit more about that. But did anybody else think of anything else like me to